one. Mm-hmm. And I think I was in the private discussion. So he was born in Izmir, raised in Israel. His grandfather was a Rishon Lezion of Israel. His father was also a Rishon Lezion of Israel. And he was a rabbi in many places, one of them Rome, and the other one Alexandria at the end of his life. Now, when he was in Rome, they wanted to put something which was totally, you put it, it's on.
It's on,
yeah. Yeah. Put it on.
It's on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wanted, in similar way, to do something which was totally unusual for them, to put a clock in the Beit HaKnesset. And there was objections. Why? Because in the churches they have clocks. So now if you want to put a clock in the Beit HaKnesset, then it's for the army. That was the thing. All right. So, Assalamu alaikum. Yes. So the problem is. Oh, by the way, we have coffee. We have this is cold in there. We have coffee. We have tea, and we have I don't know what it is, and cookies, and I don't know, and so on. So the problem is that Hukut Amin. Is this a Hukut Amin? Now, we have to articulate what is Hukut Amin, because we have to say, what is Hukut Amin? So now it is Hukut Amin. So, the most important thing so far that we study is a definition of Hukut Amin. Hukut means a rule that, at least from our point of view, has no zero ta'am, has no reason. So there has no intrinsic, I mean, according to our senses, has no reason, and we do it just because we want to pretend that we belong to the same clique. Yes? Alright? Well, it's an emblem. Could be, so we want to bring, I put an emblem because I want to show that I'm a patriot or I'm this and so on. That is a kind of a hukah. And in other words, in itself has no meaning, but it only serves to identify you with certain group. If this certain group is Abu Dhabi, of course you're not permitted to do it. Yes? For instance, I'll give an example. If a person would put a cross in America, yes, that is identified as a Christian emblem, yes. Mm-hmm. Although in other societies, it's not a Christian emblem. In India, for instance, it's not a decoration. It's a decorative thing. Of course, the Amapir also the Nazi emblem, yes. In India, is considered as a decorative thing. All right. So now we want to know the halakha. Hukah is something which in itself has no meaning, but serves to identify you. Yes? Mm-hmm. An example is a cross. But we'll come to more substantive examples. Now, if you do it, that is for what I mean. What happens if you do something which is associated with Christianity, but is not a Christian emblem? And this is a teshuvah. The Christians in certain societies used to use a cape. Yes. Now, what are you going to put? You wear a cape. So the answer is that you're permitted to wear a cape. Are Christians the wear? Yes, they wear, but they don't wear it because they are members of the clergy, but because that one was as a proper dress. Mm-hmm. So you're using the cape. Not although the clergy use capes. But also people who are not members of the clergy use cape, because cape was considered as a double-breasted suit or whatever it is today. All right. So again, even if it's used by the clergy, that's the Shulamot Adeshen, this is not Hukut Amin, because you don't do it, or it is not done as a religious symbol, but as a question of proper dressing. All right. Now we're going to see in a minute. We're going to study the thing. What about music? All right. What about music of the goyim? If my music is similar to the music of, say, of the church, am I permitted to use it? All right. So that comes a point which is made by Rabbi Yisrael Moshe Hazan, is anything which is pleasurable to one of the five senses. And this you cannot say Hukut Amin. you do it for Hukuk al-Amin. Let me give you, first of all, a negative example, and then I want to go to a more positive example. Take, for instance, Masiba. Yes. Now, at one time, Abraham Avinu, Ishaq, and Yaakov, they had Masibot. Yes. And the Torah says, give Masiba. Yes. And throughout the book of Bereshit, you have Masibot. Now, Masiba in itself has no meaning. I mean, there's nothing in the Masiba that is, you know, it has no intrinsic meaning. Meaning, 1 minute. So then the pasuk comes, the Sefer Devarim says, "Lo takim lecha Masiba ashesani Adonai Elohecha." So come the Chachamim saying, at one time the Masiba was used by Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, and that was all right. But later on, in the interim, when we went to Egypt, the Kanaanim, they used it as a religious symbol. Alright? And because now it became a Kanaanite, a religious symbol, it's forbidden for you to use. Now I have a big question, and you would have to think about that for a few seconds before you answer. Fine. So you're not going to do it because this, although it was used by Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, yes? But now it was used later on by the Kanaanim, and therefore don't use it. That's what the Torah says. Question: what about the Korbanot? The Korbanot were used. Even you say that Amar Yishom invented it, which is not true. Yes, but even if supposedly you say that I invented it, but now it's used by the Goyim. What is the difference between Masiba and Korbanot? Do you understand the question? This is the question that he asked. Alright? And the answer is, of course, is a classic, and so on. Chavod, anybody who's want to offer the difference between the Masiba is not permitted, although it was used by Abraham Isaac Yaakov. And apparently, from the Torah, they were the first one who used it, invented the new way, because they didn't want to do it like the Kiramim. Now, they did it because we wanted to be different. Now that we go to Egypt in the interim time, the Kanaanim use it, so come says, don't look at him, come and say, because my love says, but now we go. What's the difference between this, the Quran of Chabot, Moshe, or whoever wants to do this, yes, Chabot? No. Yes.
Not there, I was here last week.
You know what was the answer? Let's see if you remember. Siliha, if you remember that answer, that's also an accomplishment. Chavod.
So the answer that Bishan Shahazani has, if I remember correctly, is that at least according to him, that the Korbanot had actually a rational or culturally beneficial aspect to them, a pleasurable aspect to them.
What is it that you allow?
So whether you call it the Reach Mihoah or something like that, or the beneficial aspect of bringing a Korban and expiation and so forth, that is the benefit.
You are almost, you are right, but a few more extra words that you said that make it
wrong, and so forth, yes.
The answer is fantastic. It is. Anything that has to do with the five senses, which is processed by a human mind as pleasurable, that sense itself cannot be Hukot Amin. Now, the reason why the Korbanot is so religious is because it's splendid. The smell, the visual aspects of how you bring it, and so on. This, they have a sensory pleasure. And on this, the Torah doesn't say it's Hukot Amin. The Masiba has none of it.
Excuse me, you can argue sensory pleasure from everything.
Absolutely, he's going to say it in a minute. Yes, but on sensory pleasure, you're going to say it's asur because it has to be a special asur for it. But you're going to say it's asur. No? You don't like it?
No.
Why?
Because Eli is 1,000. Yeah, I could say that the cross because it's gold, it's ornate, it's whatever.
Oh, all right, one second.
Or because I like the shape.
And, all right, so, all right, all right, so now let's read. No problem. I wanted to we have to go back then. Yeah, but let's no, 1 second. I'll be with you in a second. I want to see the teshuva. Can maybe I need another page when you finish the teshuva of the Rashbash. That is a fantastic teshuva. Yeah. No. Let me. I find it. Rashbash.
It's the other pages.
Sereha. No. It's fantastic to show up.
Let me. Okay.
Search for it. I find it.
This is the page as follows. That is where
it
talks about the
korbanot. Yeah, but no, the one of
I found it.
And this here.
Yeah,
I got that. All right.
Oh,
Shalom Aleichem.
Oh,
there it is. All right. Can we describe this page?
Yeah, sir.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you could say, it's true to the space, fantastic space. All right.
Yes.
Moshe, let's read column, that bed,
mm-hmm.
The column, the second column, in the Bura Masir Vehi. Alright, now I got to bring a proof to my thesis, says the Hacham. And what's the proof? A question. Now, Jews came from Spain and Portugal to Algiers. Alright? And they go to pray. And the Muslims, they make fun of them. Because they enter into their own Beit HaKnesset with shoes on. And the question is, now, these are Jews from Spain and Portugal. All right, now we are in a Muslim environment, and the old people will say, "Oh, look at the Jews! You go to a holy place. What kind of a holy place is that you go with shoes on?" All right, you understand the question? All right, but this is a fantastic answer. Chavod Moshe.
Harashvash
is Rabbi Shimon Ben Shlomo, and his father was Semach Dulam, famous from the Rabbi. Listen, I want to know what's the Raya. They were intelligent. 1391, when still the Jews were arguing with the Franks to bribe the Goyim to stay in Spain for another 10 years, they said there's no hope in Spain. Let's take our money, our things, and we go to Arab land, and they went to Jews with all the fortune, all the money, all the thing. This shows that they are intelligent, alright? Without all the other hakamim, but that is intelligent, alright? Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Abba, if you listen. So now the question is, he is the son of this famous hakam, alright? Alright? So we're talking about the year 1440, more or less. He's a son, yeah? So the father left Spain in 1391, and he's now in Algiers, so the question that comes to is, so we understand that now the problem, alright? We're going to the Knesset, we choose, everybody is poking fun on us.
מה שנשאר רשפש על הקהל שרצו להסכים שלא להיכנס אדם בבית הכנסת בנערים מחמת בנעריים מחמת החרפה של החרפים
הישמעאלים. Now I want to be like there are a few things. Now this is typical of many, in the essence, Sephardic and Ashkenazim are the same. But there are a few differences. And one of the differences is, there's an enormous amount of literature has come out. Shall we enter with a tie, or shall we enter with a tie to the Beit HaKnesset? Should we require everybody to wear a tie or not? This has come out. We don't say, well, I've heard this. There's nothing in Shulchan Aruch or something like that. So therefore, if you want to forbid a person to pray without a tie or to want to whatever it is, let's have a askama, let's vote it. We vote in the Beit Knesset, alright? We vote, there's a question of askamot, is there are dozens of book and the askamot akahal. Yes? And what we do today, no, so this is, you should have a, this is what's not the way we carry on. We carry on by the akahal. So the question is, shall we make an askama? Yes? And therefore it becomes forbidden on Mutar, not because it is forbidden on Mutar, but because we agreed upon that. So don't bring me Shulchan Aruch or something of the sort. You understand? We agreed that this. Now, we're going to vote for Askama about whether to permit or prohibit people to enter the Beit Knesset, which is on. Alright? Now, we are in a Muslim country. The minhag of the Muslims is not to enter to the temple with the shoes. It's considered harpa. Yes. Alright? It's the same thing in Japan. Yes. In other places. Yes. It's considered as harpa to enter into a holy place with shoes. What should we do in Algiers? Alright? The way put the place, some Yahidim, yes, that they will not enter the Beit Knesset with Jews.
The Shiva.
So the only way to solve it, and that's why I say that we have forgotten some of the good things, yes, is a question of Haskama. Yes, you show me Shulchan Aruch, we have made an Haskama. And what is Haskama Tasibur? It has the category of a neder, of a public neder, and so on. It's, you know, it's not really the right tower. Some people say the right tower is, but I in theory the approach appeals to me. How was
the very aduahu shebet haknesset aruv faro uromimor habedo laftik mimenu kol mine bizayon.
Yes. Now this is agreed upon that we have to respect the holy place. Yes, and the faro. And to the Ahikman Menuko Davar that we consider Bizayon. The question is, what is the criteria for that? What do I consider as Kavod and not Kavod? What I have for example, in Spain was Kavod to enter with shoes. Now we are in Algiers, it's called Kavod to enter without shoes. Now I come from Spain. So I said, well, my parents, I mean, how about you know, again? I said, yeah, I make all the joke. And I said, my father was with shoes, my grandfather was with shoes, I'm going to wear shoes. But if, now you're only in Algiers. Do you understand the question? Alright?
Kavod.
Now, first of all, it agrees that Kavod is something subjective. But how subjective?
It's culturally subjective.
Yeah, but how? How? Are the universal concepts of kavod? Kavod. Oh, kavod. Alright.
Yeah. Kavod that is a yom, kefi machshavat bnei adam, ukfi
hamekomot. That is. Kefi machshavat ukfi hamekomot. Now we're going to try to prove that this is the case. And we're not talking about the kavod of Bizayon ha'amiti, the real kavod. Can we say Baruch kavod Adonai b'mekomo? Yes. Melokola ayes kavodo. We're not talking about subjective. There is kavod amiti. This kavod amiti is only perceived through the soul. Now, through the soul makes a difference if somebody has or doesn't have a shoe. We're talking not about the kavod amiti, we're talking about a subjective kavod. How do we going to define this kavod? What are the perimeters of this kavod?
Yes, kavod medume, to be taken medume.
And about this we're talking. About the imagination, the illusionary kavod in the illusionary bizayon. About this we're talking. See how clear it is. We're not talking about the real kavod. Kavod is not shamayim imal, tahav nechras kevodo. That's a different story. We're talking about kavod merumeh. All right. So. What is called Kli Na'im? Now, a torn gene was considered as not Na'im 30 years ago. Today is considered Na'im, or vice versa. So what is considered Na'im? This has to do with people. First of all, with the people. It's psychological. It has to do with the place. That's what we're going to say. Yes. Yes. But the Kula'im themselves are not Bizayon. Yes. But the people think that this is not the proper dress. Yes. Yes. The truth is that you are wearing a luxury, requires the embroidery dress. That doesn't make you. The Neshama doesn't say a thing, or you know, Rabbi Akiva is wearing big day rikma. That's why halakhala is like Rabbi Akiva negative Rabbi Zakot. No, we don't say this. That's not. This is totally irrelevant. Yes. Regarding showing, yes. You know, this is, you know, that doesn't affect. If you would see Abraham, will be Abraham and Ezra when he comes from a long journey. He's not to be, he's becoming so in, doesn't mean because of this that there will be Abraham and Ezra is a pahot this. Alright? So we see how clear they are. But kavod uvizayon, we're talking about the kavod medumme. About what is b'ene b'ene Adam. Alright?
ומתנה כך היה קורא רבי יוחנן
למנה מחבודיתה. מנה is his clothing. Rabbi Yohanan, he called his clothing the one that gives me honor. Yes? And we have a saying in Sephardic saying, כבוד אדם לבושו. Yes? I used to say this to my Avery, so I said, כבוד אדם לבושו. You always ask everything. But again, yes, it is a subjective thing. It's not the real kavod. All right? Means that gives me kavod. It's not that the kavod that has kavod, that gives me kavod, means any other. All right? If you find a stain in the beggar of Rami Hakam, Hayamita. Alright, where
so the next day starts with Bechule.
Yes, I don't have it. Can you fetch me?
Yes, you have it.
Where's the Haran? Where's the Haran Halewa?
I didn't speak with him.
Alright. Alright. Yes. Yes.
אף-על-פי שאין תוספת בעצם נפש האדם כשירבש בגדים נעים או לא חיסרון בגושי בגדים נקלעים.
This does not affect the, it's not a נפש, you know, I mean it's totally conventional.
אלא לפי מחשבתו.
Yes. Only he imagines so. I mean, if you have begadim so'im, you feel bad, or you feel this. And if you have begadim, proper begadim, you feel better. But lepi mahasabto. You see, this is a teshuva written about the year... Yes, 44. Look how intelligent they were, the Hakamim then. Yes. Yes. So we believe in the theory of evolution, but in reverse.
ויש בגדים שאם בשם אדם, האדם, במקום אחד, הם תפארת, ואם בשם במקום אחר,
beautiful.
כי האדם והקש
That again, 1440, yes? Something could be kavod in one place, and not kavod in another place. I want to say something which is horrible, and maybe we should blanket it afterwards. The same clothing. Suppose I'm not in favor or against bathing suit or so on. But that's from the point of view of goyim, all right? A lady who was wearing a bathing suit if she would come like this to her office, it would consider it scandalous. But the same person in a different place, which we call a beach or a country club, is not scandalous. I'm not saying whether it's good or not good to go with that. But the same clothing, yes, or against the height, you go with shorts. Yes, depends on who the person is. If you will go with George to your office, or you have a meeting, a business meeting, that would be considered improper. But if you go like this to the tennis country club to play tennis, that's proper. So what he's saying is that since the dress is a question of subjective, also the place is a determining factor. The same tilboshet, which is improper, is considered as perisut. Yes, if I'm taking a subway at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the ladies wearing a bathing suit, that would be considered perisut. But if the same lady is wearing the same this in John's Beach or wherever it is, yes, that's not considered perisut. I'm not saying it is, or not, maybe it should be sekila or this, but put at least from the subjective point of view. That's what the Hakam is saying. Chavod.
ולפיכך, דברים שאנו חושבים אותם גנאי וביזיון, לא נעשה לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, ולא במקומות המקודשים.
Yes. Now, what is haram is what we think in our places that is improper for my community. Again, even the people that would say, I'm not in favor against anybody, that says superfluous people will have this, of course this doesn't happen in real life, but suppose there are some Jews who believe that it's alright for a woman to go and be in jail. I know that this is, of course, never happens. The same Jews that would say it's not proper for her to come to the Knesset. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, the place is a determining factor.
It's like going to shul in shorts.
Exactly.
It's done. Here it's not.
Exactly. Or they go and say how they go with sandals. With yeah. The sandals, no socks. Yes, in Israel. Yes, everyone walks with sandals. And you go to Pei Minha, or try to Pei Minha with sandals. Because in Israel, everybody, or many people, is considered as proper to walk with sandals. Yes? Here, it's not proper to walk with sandals. Simple. Alright? So place is a determining factor. There is no such a thing as an absolute way of dressing. Alright? Chavod. This is in Gemara Masechet Pesachim. Write it down. Ein he amud bet. Ein he amud bet, or maybe it's amud alef. Yes. Yes. So you remember if you ever need to. Yes.
Amru v'halol lifnei melech b'chal v'adam en osin ken lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo chosheken.
Yeah, the question is about Korban Pesach, whether it has to be steli gahale esh. So it says, what is Gahale Esh? It should be, has to be Gahalim, which are Esh. What about you call it, you burn it with only Esh? No Gahalim, which is the grease or so on. You burn it at the grease of the thing. So it says, if you in front of a king, you will not bring a meal like that in front of a king. You know, cooked in the fat of the thing, you know, without. So we should do this for the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which means like this. If we are in a society in which this thing is improper, it's not derech kavod, you know, so you can do it also in the temple or in the Beit HaMikdash or when you're eating Korban Pesach. Yes? Yes. In a meal in front of a king, you will not serve meat, or you will not cook meat this way. Yes, it has to be gahale esh. Esh without the gahale means from the fat of the king, of the thing you're cooking with the fat, that it would be considered improper. Yes, so therefore would be also improper for us to bring the Korban Pesach in this way. So you see that the queue, yes, and you see that we have a criterion. Would you do this in front of the king? No. All right? So you want to do this in the Beit HaMikdash. But what you see from here is even the kavod of the Beit HaMikdash is measured according to what is kavod in those days, in those times, and this is a holy meal. We are having a holy meal, which is Korban Pesach, and therefore it's like coming out from the Vedaviyat, leaving Yerushalayim. You have to be tahor, you have to do all those things, and therefore you will not apply to this meal a lower standard that you would apply to eating in front of the king. But again, you measure it not through a pasuk, but according to the standards of the social standards. How about?
In Ken, Koma she'anu choshvim oto lebizayon, ra'ui lehitrahek min la'asotam lishnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chein hadin shelo la'asoto b'mkomot hanechubalim.
Yes. Yes.
Hineh be'arsot hanosrim.
Now, we come from Arsot Hanosrim. They come from Portugal. Yes, they came from Mallorca, whatever it is. Yes, all right.
What's the last word? Hanechubim?
Yes.
והנה בעשות הנושאים שאין אסלם בזיון
כשנכנס אדם
לפני מלכם
במנעל אם נכנס כן בבית הכנסת שבעירם אין בזיון if you go into בית הכנסת in Spain or Portugal with נעליים it's not בזיון because that's the proper way. Yes. However,
ובעל עשות אלו רוצה לומר עשות ישמעיה שהוא בזיון ייכנס לפני
גדוליהם
וכל שכן לפני מלכם במנער
וכל שכן also in their sacred places in their temples
אסור להיכנס במנעליים
במנעל בית הכנסת שבעירה
וכו'.
Again, the same if you are in בית הכנסת in the בית הכנסת of Algier at that time would be forbidden to enter to Beit HaKnesset with the man in Alay. Now, if you go to the opposite, if you go to Portugal or Spain, it would be forbidden to go barefooted. Fantastic Pesach, no? וכמו שביארתי, we are paraphrasing Rashbash. Yes.
Yes.
Again, Shina Kavod Vazayon. Ela kefi machshavat Adam. It's something subjective. It's machshavat Adam. Yeah. Kavod. I'm sorry. You because your interruptions are the
difference here. Yeah. Between the case of the Maseva, number one, the case of the Korban, number two, and this, number three, is a question, in my view, of legislation.
Oh, but you have to see later on. Yes.
ומה שחושבים אותו בזיון, אסור לעשות אותו. והרי אסור להשפיר חללים.
Oh, להפשיר חבר. The Gemara in Megillah says it's forbidden. So of course you have a Beit HaKnesset, you don't use it no more. Could you rent it or something for people to make ropes? להפשיר חבר, because they used to do it with the hand jobs. This is forbidden. Why? Because in the places what considered as Bizayon, to have people do that in the Beit HaKnesset. Do you understand? So therefore here you have a very, 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 now there's nothing wrong with Hapsil Havalim, what's the word for it? Which should be some
braid.
To braid or twist or whatever it is. So there's nothing wrong, there's nothing, this. But that was not considered as kavod. And of course, it's not going to come out. Even if you're not using the Beit HaKnesset, you're not permitted to let people just hide. How about?
Ama de akida.
Bikvida.
Bikvida.
Yeah, it's only is the people makpidim or not? All right.
In Ken, there are certain Muslims she'olim ad lemata the sandalim.
No, I said Adam and
David.
Now, even the sit and couches, and when they sit and couches, they are sandalim. Yes? So it's not considered as nothing offensive to be even to sitting means a couch. Yes. If you are permitted to sit in a couch, we did say yes.
They leave the shoes in the vestibule.
Yes, they have a vestibule. They leave it there. Yes.
Asur likanes b'hem lebet hakneset.
Yes.
Ve'en hadavar kalul.
Here comes
something better.
No. Lord says, oh, well, you know, I enter in my house with the, it's not something which is individual. It's not going to the individual. Well, I don't mind to in my house I enter because I'm come from training. In my house I enter with the shoes, and I even sit down in the mitah with the shoes. No, it has to do with what the place is. Very important. Yes, yes. So you don't makpid. We don't care about whether you makpid or not. Yes, the center of kavod has to be social and cultural. Yes, the individual, I don't care, makes a difference. The only reason because you don't care that you're permitted to pray with Jews, or vice versa.
Is it something like in the Muslim countries, they don't even walk inside with the shoes inside?
That's right.
They live
in the shoes. That's what I said, yes. Yes. In Arabic, we have a word called the dahliz. I don't know. They leave the shoes in the dahliz. Dahliz is like a small vegetable. You know.
My great grandfather used to do that in Turkey.
Yes. Dahliz is what happens. You have a place where you leave the shoes on.
Yes.
They don't walk inside.
What's it called? Do that today in Korea and in Turkey. Whenever I go into a house, they cook your shoes.
Yes.
You
walk around
with your socks? Yeah.
Yeah. So they give me
slippers.
They give slippers in Japan, it's one of the Yeah. Yes. Alright? So, but the beauty of it is that very clear that those things are not universal, but are a local culture, a local, yes. So again, I'm not saying on behalf or against what may be considered as improper if you are in an office, or if you are taking a subway, or if you are on the street. Maybe proper if you are on the beach.
You can even take this one step further. You go to an Ashkenaz shul, it may be proper in that shul to do something. If you go to a Faradi shul, it may be proper to do something in the same place, same culture.
Yes, yes. So it has to be. I think this is what is important, right? And there are many aspects of how to apply this teshuva. How about? Yes. So now, if you are mizuham in your house, that you wear shoes in your house. I mean, from the point of view of culture, you, doesn't mean because you want to soil your house, you want to soil the house of God. You see? Respect the thing of you understand?
Is there a concept of Eva? Among the goyim, you're doing now. You're following.
No, but it's something called not Eva, but something, and this is something which is very important. And sometimes we, in particular, Chachamim are very sensitive about it. Don't do something that he has one fantastic teshuva. Maybe we should read. I don't know. Fantastic teshuva. Don't do something that would provoke the goyim to think that you Jews don't respect your own religion. The teshuva later on, not here, it says like this. In Italy, the Jews, when they used to take the aron for the care for this, they used to do things in the street that were considered as laughable in the eyes of the goyim. And the goyim would laugh at that. And the Jews say, they're anti-Semites. And Rabbi Yisrael HaMoshe Chazan said, no, you are anti-Semite. You are Jew. You don't have to do this in the street. You know that the goyim, from the point of view of the culture of the goyim, now you're breathing through the streets of the goyim. Yes? Now if you are in your own house, want to do it. But now you're putting in the seat of the whole Elohim, and you're going to say, make makot and makut and there are this and all kinds of things. And for the Elohim, this was do it in your own bitakeh, or do it in the halakhah ishah, or not do it in the bitakeh, in the street, you know? And just do all kind of things which appear in the eyes of the Elohim as comic. Yes? And now, if you think it's not coming back, no problem. But don't do it in this. So you have to be sensitive to the culture in which you are. Don't do that. I don't want to do that. Of course, I'm anti-kapalot. But the way you make a kapalot in Brooklyn is by Mashallah Hashem. You know? The only thing that works. Now, even if you're the rabbi says, excellent, but don't do it in a way that the public would see it. You know? Alright, but I don't know how you do it. Because this, even if we do a mitzvah, which is not, yes, don't do it in a way that will be going, that will be zayon from the eyes of the going to say, look how the Jews, how careless they are about the Torah and so on. So that is the point that later on in a different Teshuvah has to do with, you know.
How many Tommy Lee feels that they're walking around with the kippah? You know,
it's
Hashem also.
Oh, I tell you when, I agree and disagree. I used to tell AB and so on. If you are going to drive the car with a kippah, or you want to be in subway with a kippah, then you have to have extra direct edges. Yes, because that's, you don't have the extra, then use a baseball hat. Or so on. Why? Because the people say, this is true. Yeah, there's a woman there, so you look, this woman is this, and he doesn't give you a seat. Or this dirty Jew passed me, you know, in an illegal way. You know, the kippah they have, from my point of view, is a responsibility. Because you are representing, so far, apparently, the best that Yahud has to offer. Yes? And I once... I have nothing against him. So, a boy with a black beard, a black capote, really. And he was making up with a black woman in the subway. So he was embracing and so on. Now, the point is.
Maybe she was Jewish.
he was making out. If he would have been his wife, he would not be so close to you know, as well. the point is, it's a question of Hilul Hashem. You want to wear a beard? No problem. You want this? There is a responsibility. I remember my hacham in Argentina. I used to be horrible, and he didn't have a beard. Yes, you don't have a beard. So I asked him once, why you didn't have a beard? And he answered me in Arabic. He says, Mukherjee, I'm not worthy of wearing a beard. What a fantastic answer. Yeah, I'm not worthy. Because, I mean, he was worthy, of course. He was 80 something, alright. But the point is that those symbols carry with them a responsibility. All right, and maybe he has also said some humor in there, but he arrives as a Mukherjee, and I'm not worthy, I'm not, this. Chagam Adom also didn't wear a beard. Yeah, there may be many reasons, but I also thought that maybe he's a businessman, maybe he'll do this, that, and so on. And if he would wear a beard, then maybe people that would have a wrong impression of this. Chavod.
Yes.
And therefore it's good to take away herpata umma, that the people should not say that we are shameless. Herpa. Yes? Because we look at these people to desecrate the holy, because they enter the holy with a with chuzan. Right? Yes. I know. Why the Rishonim they say the Perush is what they're going to see later on, that Rambam says so. He's going to bring it. Yes. Alright. But, yes.
In
Because. Yes.
שמקום שהניחו לאחרונים להתגרר בו,
because the Hachamim didn't stop the Torah, they left other for the Hanonim to להתגרר בו. להתגרר בו means to define. They didn't find everything. Now it's your time to define it. You define it. All right? And I'm saying, well, if this is Asur, why Rambam didn't say this, or I mean, why you say Averosh didn't say this, why the Rabbeinu Tam didn't say this, why Rashi didn't say this? They didn't say it's not proof of either Asur or Mutar, because Makom Inihulanu Lidkaderbo. Now this is which want to progress. We have now is our turn to define the things. All right. Again, in this point, I'm not pro our community, but in the thing of the Giyul, I am pro, and I think Makom Inihulanu I was telling you guys about. So why you say it in this? Because now it's our time. We are a situation, and then we make the gather. Allah Chabot. Yes.
Lo amnu jibar.
Oh, so this is with haram. What did you say to other people? Yes.
The apati shaharamban katab shemutali kaneset beta kineset b'maklo bin alo.
Now, here comes it. Yes, here comes it. Haram says, you are beta kineset, you are permitted to enter b'maklo. With the makel. The makel is the siman that you're traveling. It's like your car. Because when you walk in, you need, especially in those streets and so on, you need, so, and also, akundador, you have like your briefcase. So now, you say maybe it's not kabod. Haman says, no, it is permitted to enter to the Knesset with your makel. And with your fundator means with your kind of a briefcase, I think your ink from your shoulder. Yes. I mean, of Hilchot Tefillah. Yes. So there are some things that you're permitted to. For instance, you're permitted to enter the Beta Knesset today with your briefcase. All right. Or maybe with the boys and so on. Yes. All right. Now, but when you are praying, you're permitted to enter to the Beit Knesset this way, but in the moment of praying, you should not pray that means the Katahara says, it's a sur. Mm-hmm. Alright?
With Rosh Megulah.
Or it should be also with Rosh Megulah.
Below
the Kalim Megulah. Now, why Rosh Megulah? No, shouldn't be. Because it was considered improper. Yes. In the Orient, I don't know how it's today, but this, if you are properly dressed, your head is covered. Alright? And so you should not pray with Rosh Megulah, and also Beraglai Megulot. So what does it mean Beraglai Megulot? Now what does it
say?
It says in Derech Anshe HaMakom, when you are permitted to go Beraglai Megulot,
שלא לעמוד בפני גדולים שלהם בבתי
רגליים, no?
בבתי רגליים.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you are in a place in which is considered improper to speak to a person only with socks on, you should not pray only with socks on. But Rambam emphasized that this is when you are in a place that, but if you're in Japan, which it's probably the cheres to walk even to Bifnei Olim with socks on, then we'll be permitted to pray with socks on. Same thing. You follow the culture of your. Would you go with a gadol in only with socks in Japan? Yes. In New York, no. So you have to find, it's not never the individual, but the local standard. Alright? And therefore, even in the Tefillah, whether it's proper or not, has to do with Minhag HaMakom. If you are in Minhag HaMakom, which is proper to be in Bifnei Gedolim barefooted or only with socks, then you pray with socks. If you are in a place where it is not proper, then you have to, now for instance, say, I don't care, but we have all kind of I had sometimes encounters with people. You're not permitted to pray without a jacket. Yes. You're permitted to. You're permitted to pray without a jacket. If the Beit HaKnesset will make a takana, I will do it. I will. Why? Because the takana is come out of the God. If I go to the Beit HaKnesset, that's God. But if you say it's haram, not haram. You go with the Gedolim. I mean, the Gedolim doesn't mean the president of the United States. I mean, you go to you go in a place where you go with short sleeves, certainly in Israel, certainly in during the summer, and you could go you walk in the street without a jacket, so you will be permitted to go. And in that considered this person who looked at this person. We saw Abe Manopla go walking in the street without yes.
Okay, but you wouldn't meet for a president.
Of course.
Not a president, somebody important.
It's not important.
Wear but that, except in California. Would wear it.
Except in California.
Yes.
I saw, and I was thinking, I said the halakha is permitted. I was in Bermuda, and I saw a person dressed impeccably, beautiful, jacket and sweat and short and shorts. Because if that is the name was going with a briefcase, I would have said this person was going to an office, to a business meeting. I would say in that circumstances it would be proper to go with a Bermuda shorts. I saw the person, I was impeccably dressed, yes, with a Bermuda shorts, and he had a jacket, and he had a briefcase. Alright? So, in Bermuda, according to the station, I will be permitted to go into pray in this. In America, not. So again, that is the point that this fantastic teshuva is illustrating. Chavod.
In Canada, as Edom,
means in Europe.
Shein derech la'amod bifnei gedolim, ela bevater aglaim, asul la'amod bishvila beraglaim migudot.
Yes.
Whereas Ishmael lehever. Alma she'adim ishtane כפי מנחת המקומות ומה שחושבים אותו בעיניי או ביזיון וכו'. יש עוד שם באורך וברוחב. והנה למר
that's what Bekiyosef, which is a Haron, it was at his time of the Hacham, of this, a few years before. It just means that's it. All right? So let's pause for a minute or half a minute. And here, one of the problems is that when they tell us principles, yes, Derech Eretz, or Chukot HaGoyim, or Kevod HaSipur, they don't define it to us. And therefore, they include more things than what's supposed to be included. Jewish law is very, very good. That's what I call alphabetic thinking, because every letter counts. There are no things in general, And here you see that something as basic as shoes, yes. The Hachamim, when you're acquainted with the literature, the Hachamim define it in a way that makes sense. All right. Fine, that's the point that I want to just. All right. So, what he's saying, the next paragraphs is a continuation of the same thing. All right. Now he wants to say something about the difference between the korbanot and the maseva. All right.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, of course.
The Haskamot, were they like a Beit Din with
them? No.
Just
there was the late people. The I remember when I was a child, and the Beit Knesset decided. I don't know. That's why to everybody had to go Friday night. They had to go to the tie.
So the could have been the committee.
No, it is the committee.
And the committee.
Now what happened is There was over. If the, it was something like, I tell you what exactly. We have a lawyer here. It was the Bedin was like a, like the Congress. I'm sorry, the committee was like a Congress. Now the Bedin, it was like the Supreme Court. They said, well, no, this is against the law. You can't make such a scam. You understand? So the Bedin were like overlook the committee is always our word was using to the Spanish committee. What the committee? Do you use the word committee? No, we don't have the word committee. The committee, or they say, and they give you an example. You have to wear a tie. All right, they could do that. Yes. Now the Bedin will say, well, maybe what you're saying is against the law or something like this. They will be able to override them. But let me give you a fantastic thing which people are not aware. The people, the persons who put in harem Spinoza were not the Hakamim. Was the committee, the central committee. Why? They thought that he's a troublemaker. We don't want him in the better place because he's a troublemaker. Alright? go preach elsewhere. I mean, there was no other place. Yes, but so the committee had a lot of authority. In some cases, they would be overrided by the Bedin, but other cases not. Yes, the typical case is Spinoza. Spinoza is a troublemaker. We don't want him in the place.
The Bedin was kind of passive.
Bedin agree. You know, I agree. I mean, but the one who put in the harem was the committee. All right, they put yes, they put him in harem.
So the tension between the committee and
not always, but that was the haskamot. This kind of haskamot were secular. I mean, by laymen, yes, and they had all kind of haskamot. You know, all kind of haskamot that they had. For instance, I know in Saloniki they have this when you could rent, what you could rent, you cannot push that haskamot. Don't rent your house to go in. Yes. It was a problem. Or for instance, that
so there are limits to rabbinic authority.
Of course. Of course, what Jewish law? We have division of power, yes, and nobody has absolute power. Also, the committee has no absolute power. All right, so this is like a division of power. You have a division of power, and it's very important. And again, the Bedin can do everything you want. Yes, if the Bedin would say something about which is not part of the then there would be a crisis, and the crisis has to be resolved one way or the other. Yeah. All right.
I mean, not to judge either side, but yes. The simple fact of the struggle between Sa'adia Gaon and the Rishka Lutas,
of course, it was a crisis.
Yes. The fact that you could have such a struggle.
Yeah, but it's good. People understand. It's good when there is a crisis, because then the public has to decide. You know, and then there's a change. A change occurs. You know, there's a change occurring, taking place, and because otherwise, if the system is all comprehensive, there's no possibility to progress. So I am not against crisis. I mean, providing that we take it with the, there's a crisis, and now you resolve it. You cannot say, you know, the public and so on, the things. Yes? But for instance, I give an example. There are beautiful things that they had. Yeah, I wish that we had it today. They had an halab, Hachamachu brings it, was from his grandfather's time, that a woman is not permitted to enter the recognition with a clothing that is worth more than, I don't know, 4 liters of those things. And that was the way, a woman is not permitted to enter the recognition with jewelry. Why? Because I don't want, but now my wife saw the other wife, and then she's going to make a black Sabbath to me. Shahwar Ani makes it a Shabbat, because look at the other wife wears, and look what my dress. Alright? From my point of view, it's very intelligent. You know? It's very nice. They had all kind of, now this is a beautiful Ashkamah, made not by Hakamim, by the lay people, yes? And again, we should not go to the Beit HaKnesset in which a girl should feel, white should feel inferior because everybody else wears this kind of fashion and she's not wearing that. Alright? She has to go to TJ Maxx, whereas I go to where the place is. And so you could do that, but don't do it in the Beit HaKnesset. So there were all kinds of askamot. Yes, beautiful askamot, great askamot. Somebody, if you know how to read French, somebody wrote a PhD on the askamot of Saloniki.
Wow.
Yes?
That's nice.
Yes, so they had askamot. For instance, they had askamot that you have a factory and you have to give X amount of time for the workers to pay. That was a nice askamot.
They don't have askamot anymore.
Yeah, they don't.
They have rabbis.
Yeah, but this is wrong because you see, when the rabbi does more than what he's supposed to do, he loses his kavod. No, this is the kavod. Another example was a very nice askamot they had about selling wool. Saloniki, for some reason or other, was a wool, had to do with textile and wool. And that you cannot sell at a certain price, you cannot do this and so on, you cannot sell before. And therefore, and this only the businessman could know how to, what kind of askamot to make.
To
protect the market. And it was beautiful, it was very, very nice. So the Jews would not buy or would buy at this time or not. Now, the Hakamim cannot make askamot like that. Because they don't know. You see? So they're all kind of like, there was a man, I spoke to him on the phone once, with a real Tamil Hakam, Isaac Emmanuel. His last name was Emmanuel from Saloniki, and he wrote a book about the askamot in Saloniki, the wool, about to do with wool and all that. I have the book in French. Salah, you wanted to write something?
So the old days, okay, the committee and the
Beit Din,
each one of them
had askamot. That's a panasim. The committee was called in Hebrew panasim.
And the rabbi was the Beit Din.
That's right.
And whatever was...
This is exactly like the Congress and the Supreme Court.
Right.
You know? And sometimes it's a conflict, and sometimes you could resolve the conflict, sometimes you cannot resolve the conflict.
We're stuck.
Yes, and we're stuck with a problem in America also. I am in favor of limited sovereignty, yes, division of power, yes, and let it be a crisis. So your guys means the support, the public has to act and say, we don't want this, or we want this. Listen, the fact that it's a crisis means that the law is not stipulated, so you have to do something about it. All right.
It's not accepted.
Yeah. And so later on, the public has to do one way or the other.
Just to give an example of a scam in business, necessarily how the businessmen interpret on amongst community members.
Yeah.
Cannot steal each other's employees.
There you are. Very nice.
Okay? Unwritten rule. It's an unwritten rule. Do not steal.
Right.
Has Haskamot always written?
Always. In the books of Haskamot. There are books, there are actual books of askamot. I have some books of the famous askamot and so on. Yes?
Is it a vote? Is that unanimous or is it a majority vote?
This says also, for instance, in things, but don't run into it. For Hazanim. Who is the Hazan? It has to be unanimously accepted.
By the committee?
By the public. This was what is for the public. This has to be unanimous.
Where is this?
Oh, there's Shulchan Aruch and so on. Yeah, because even if one person is against this guy,
he can't plan his behalf.
Because you can't plan my behalf.
Right.
Right. Yeah. There were things that were unanimous, there were things that were not unanimous. Alright, I thought there was something that happened. Somebody should write a PhD thesis. Maybe one of, I'm not talking, one of the real Talmidim, Hazrat Hashem, and in Halab, I don't know of any other place that happened. And I know the story. You know the, what's his name, Cabasso, yes?
Yes, sure.
His grandfather, I've heard one of those stories. His grandfather was the Hazan in Halab. He was very much respected and so on. And, now I remember. The chief rabbi of Halab was somebody by the name of Chaski or Haskiel, yes? His last name was Haskiel or Chaski or something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it was during the First World War, and he asked for, the Jews were drafted to the Turkish army. So he was Hazan, the prophet was a prophet Hazan, so I mean, from his grandson. And the chief rabbi refused to give him permission, I mean, know that he's a Chacham, a certified Chacham. The public got angry, and this is the only case that I know that Chacham Bashi was demoted by the public.
I like that.
What do you mean he is not a Chacham? What do you mean he is not a Chacham? And he was demoted. He lost his job. Yes? In Hebrew he writes his name Hezkiah as a last name. Was it a Chacham? It's a very Chacham, no question about it. Yes? But I think it was pronounced like Husky or something like this. But I cannot talk to it. But his last name was Hezkiah. That's an example of it has to be even the Chacham Bashi or Chacham Bashi to be with the translator had to be with how much has to be asked come up from the public or not. That's a different story. Yes, but the point is for Hazan has to be unanimous because otherwise he's not Moshe Oti.
Point of view of the
okay, well, the guy hates me, I know. He hates me. And I feel like that now he's not going to be Moshe. Oh, I hate him. And I don't want him to be Moshe. So the Hazan normally has to be unanimously accepted. There were other things, of course. But they had all fantastic laws. Fantastic laws. For instance, in Damascus, they had a fantastic law that somebody marries. And not only Damascus, other places, but I know. Somebody marries a girl, wealthy girl, and she brings a nenunia, saying $1 million nenunia, because it wasn't touched with the culture of the year. And she dies within a year, the husband does not inherit her. Although the law is that by law, the husband inherits his wife. But they had all kind of laws like this. And that was made it unnecessary to have a reform movement.
But they were dealing constantly with reality.
With reality. All right? And therefore, if it doesn't happen the way I want it, I know that I have an uncle who is a member of the Parasim, and maybe it was. So there was no need to make a reform or to upset the thing. All right. So,
what types of cases does Hukot HaGoyim
that apply? All right. So he says that it has to be something which is done for a religious purpose. Yes. For instance, he's going to do one second. A religious purpose that has no sensory pleasure. All right. Give an example. Suppose. Wednesday ash, you would put ash in your thing. This is a religious thing. It has no pleasure. It has no nothing. The culture. But again, that was going to say. I'm trying to find what is the thing. Is music. Even when the music is the same ma'am as that of the Christian church. Yes. Well, that's part of our culture. This music moves us. Yes, and it's pleasurable to. To our sensory, to our ears.
So it's not, that's
not Hukot.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The reason why they're going, the Christians, they have it, is because it's pleasurable, it's a motive.
Uh-huh.
But to build a synagogue in the shape of a church, the church is not according to the architectural standards of society. We're talking about the always Gothic things and so on. Yes, that would be a soul. How could I go in? You know?
There is no physical benefit.
There is no physical thing. There's not. It's not that the church. I'm talking about the Gothic church. I don't know about the modern church in America, but the Gothic churches. It's nothing to do with the pleasure of the society. It's not something which society recognizes as a beautiful architecture. You know, they recognize it as a religious architecture. Yes, as a Christian Roman Catholic architecture. You know, and therefore that is different. that is different. That would not be permitted. All right. So, but again, what it's going to bring later on, and maybe you give me some of the other pages.
Yes.
Something which is fantastic, which is we should say it. Yes, is about music, and the word in the left side. You bring the other advanced thing.
Okay.
Yes, the one after Yiman.
The top is in the hand, is the first word of it?
Maybe.
Okay. One more.
Let's go with this Mehem.
Okay.
And I think after one is one with the word Arias, to the left. Arias, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes, wait, which page?
Dalet. It's what the right-hand side sounds of Dalet. According to this definition, and to put an organ in a synagogue would be Mutar.
That's right. Yes. And he is as well for us, as Mutar. Yes.
So Hatam Arayis was against the organ.
Was he against playing the organ?
In the reform, because the reform was...
But the question
is...
Shabbat, that's different.
That's for religious purposes.
That's an organ. If you have to have an organ for wedding.
But you want to incorporate the use of the organ.
Because that is also true, because if you go in there, you are going to have either Jews or Gentiles playing the organ, and playing the organ, Shabbat is also...
Yeah. Well, let's say it's not Shabbat.
Okay.
Can you play the organ for the Shantifila? Not on non-Shabbat.
Probably you would say he's all right. I don't know. Well, I don't know. I'm not prepared to say I don't know. What?
It's a good one.
Yeah.
But
on Shabbat is Mishumah. It's a Sassoum. It's a Sassoum. You are supposed to play the piano. You are supposed to play the guitar.
Yourself, let's say, are you
able to
do it? That was never done?
Yes.
Okay,
fine. Interesting the law, no? Yeah, Aaron Halewa suggested. He wanted me to study one teshuva, which is larger than all. No, I want to study on specific points that they give us understanding of what the law is. All right? And you're wearing glasses. It's chokotayim. Because I'm wearing glasses now because I want to protect my eyes because of the sun or this or that. You know?
And they take it to a new level today.
Yeah. What is it?
Clothing.
Oh, clothing, yes. I'm in a t-shirt. Yeah.
Black and white.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, whatever it is. All right. He's wearing shoes. Yes, all right. I remember many years ago, I was not married. I was in Yerushalayim. I was in a bookstore. I used to love to buy books. So I was with